interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National guard.
Testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
Of the sky and to high strangers around the globe. This is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Here's one from North Korea. Of course, it's rare to get news out of North Korea that's valid, but you can see where they tried to hide this. A starving man in North Korea has been executed because he murdered his two children and ate them. In fact, they say this is quite common now in North Korea, that there is a quote-unquote hidden famine that's been taking place there. They think at least 10,000 people have starved to death. And undercover reporters from the Asia Press recently told the Sunday Times that one man dug up his grandchild's corpse and ate it, and at least one other that they know about boiled his child for food. Who knows how rampant this cannibalism is, but they say that it is definitely hitting the network of prison camps. People in prison there are killing and eating each other left and right. In fact, North Korea was hit by a terrible famine in the 1990s, which killed between 240,000 and 3.5 million people. That's a big range, but that's what they're saying. How bizarre is that? You think you have it tough. At least you're not eating your kids. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations, and my producer and engineer tonight is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. How's it going, Forrest?
Good evening, Joshua.
I sound a little echoey. Can you hear that?
I do hear it.
What's going on here?
We're in this new studio tonight, and yeah. Let me turn off my microphone and talk for a second, see if that takes away the echo.
Okay. Before. Yeah, it's weird, because sometimes... Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes when I start speaking, I feel like the Wizard of Oz.
Pay no attention to the man.
That's right.
I believe the way they have these microphones in here tuned for a different show. So
those of you who are listening at home, if you hear a little echo, maybe it will just enhance our manhood, huh, Forrest?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's what we want. We want to sound as virile as possible. In fact, before the program, Forrest, we were talking about the fact that you have become recently engaged to
right.
Kelly, who
yes.
is in the studio tonight.
Yes.
And so I think we've determined that I am supposed to now take you to Fuzzy Holes.
Joshua, I will relieve you of that burden if you really feel that you don't want to do that.
Well, you know, I really don't feel like going back to fuzzy holes. And now, for those of you who are listening to the show and you have no idea what we're talking about, there is a strip club. It's in Tennessee. And it's called Fuzzy Holes. And years ago, a friend of ours was about to get married, and we decided to give him a little bachelor night experience. So we all got together, we went to Tennessee, and we went to Fuzzy Holes. And let me tell you, all I can think of every time I think of that place is it reminds me of the movie Dusk Till Dawn, when you walk inside and suddenly the strippers are in control. You're not in control anymore.
Right.
Boss Hogg is at the door. When you walk in, you realize, like, oh, I am now in the spider's lair. And I think that all men who are about to get married should go to Fuzzy Holes. You ladies out there need to take a lesson. You should send your men to Fuzzy Holes, because afterward they will be faithful to you for a long, long time. Right, Forrest?
Exactly.
You know, I probably just wrote my own death sentence. Somebody from Fuzzy Holes is going to come and, you know, knock me off now.
One of the strippers from Fuzzy Holes might come and knock you off now.
Are they still in business, Kelly? You were looking up the website, right?
Yeah, I was looking up the reviews. I haven't actually had the guts to click on the website yet, but the reviews, one of the best reviews was, they don't have roaches.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the best thing they can say about it.
Do they have crabs and lobsters?
I'm working up to it, though.
Oh, my goodness.
Trying to seafood dinner.
That's just, you know, if under different, I tell you what, if you ever are just hanging out at a bar with me and we're just sitting there drinking a beer, ask me about Fuzzy Holes and I'll tell you the story. Otherwise, it's not radio friendly, this story, is it, Forrest?
No.
Oh, what do you think about that investigator, Shelley Wright, of Wright's Coin Shop?
I actually did read the reviews on that,
yeah.
And they actually do have roaches. Yeah, it does not sound like a good place to go. You
better be careful, man. This is a real
roaches,
business.
The roaches are the least of your concern there.
They're going to abduct you, and you're going to be enslaved in Tennessee working at Fuzzy Holes.
No. It wasn't me. Kelly Googled it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Actually, this whole conversation is very appropriate because this is the last show before Valentine's Day. So this is kind of our Valentine's edition of the show tonight.
Fuzzy Holes is your Valentine's Day
edition.
We're
setting the tone, yeah. We have some songs about love and stuff that we're going to play. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that romantic?
Well, yeah.
In fact, the way that we're really going to dig into Valentine's is second hour of the show tonight, when we usually have a prolonged conversation about something. We're going to talk about incubuses and succubuses and naked ghosts and, you know, a lot of stuff about people getting it on with ghosts, and I might even toss a Bigfoot or two in there. How does that sound?
That's just crazy talk.
Lauren Coleman?
Lauren Coleman has been very informative when it comes to that particular topic. So, that's, you know, that'll be our big hour two discussion tonight. But I got to also be honest with you guys. I'm a little hungover. If I sound a little weird tonight, that's saying a lot for me, isn't it, Forrest?
It is.
I was born and raised here in Asheville. It's now Beer City. You'd think a guy like me, yes, it's true, you know, I've drank it all. I've tasted it all. But let me tell you what happened to me last night. For thousands of years, distillers of bourbon, they have known about this thing called the, let me put it this way. They put this liquor in an oak barrel, right? And they let it sit there for years. And then they go and they crack it open finally. And there's always much less liquid in the barrel because a lot of stuff has evaporated. So they call that the angel's share. You knew that, Forrest. Mm-hmm. That's the angel's share because it's off in heaven and the angels are getting liquored up on that, right? Now, you can never get that back, but there is also another explanation for why some of the whiskey is gone. That is the whiskey which has, over the years, soaked into the wood of the barrel itself, and they call that the devil's cut, right? the devil's gut. That's what he got to drink. And for thousands of years, nobody has ever known how to get access to the devil's cut. Well, apparently, Jim Beam got some scientists together, and they put him on this mission to figure out how do we extract the devil's cut out of the wood. And they came up with a solution, a patented process where they go in and they use some high-powered hoses and stuff, and they extract this super concentrated bourbon that has been soaked up into that oak and sitting there for years. And they now have released this. Now, I'm not being paid to promote Jim Beam here. Don't get me, this is not a commercial. And as a matter of fact, it's a warning. It's a public service announcement. Because I decided, well, that sounds really cool. I need to go see what Devil's Cut tastes like. And are you a bourbon fan, Forrest?
More or less, yes.
Do you like bourbon, Shelley, Kelly?
I don't.
Okay, well, let me tell you, this is the bourboniest bourbon that you can get. I mean, you just take a whiff of it, and you're just like, wow, this is strong. It's 90 proof, this stuff is. So, I cracked open the Devil's Cut, and end of story, I'm hungover now. So, be forewarned. They don't call it the Devil's Cut for nothing.
How much did you have to drink?
I don't remember. No, I actually, I had a few shots.
A few?
Yeah.
Did you shoot them or did you mix them?
No, I was just shooting the stuff. But I would chase it with water. You know, I used to drink more whiskey. You remember those days, Forrest?
Yes.
And I would always chase it with water, which is probably why I'm alive now, actually. But this stuff, I don't know if I'm just getting old or if they have truly pulled something from the depths of, you know, the bowels of hell here. But this Devil's Cut stuff, don't even break it out unless you plan on just getting blitzed that night. Now, why did I choose to tell you that? Because it's interesting. Right?
Exactly.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, now people know if you slip up on tonight's show, that it's the devil made you do it.
That's right.
Exactly.
In fact, just consider that a disclaimer from now on. It was the devil at work. Angels, devils, and actually this does play a role in incubuses and succubuses, because there are people who think that these are demons. Well, guess what? I have a little story I'm going to share with you guys, and I know we're coming up on a break here soon, so I won't dig into it till we get back, but I am going to be facing off soon with a dark spirit, not one made by Jim Beam. It's a Jim Beam. I'm sorry, not Jim Beam. It's a dark spirit. It knows I'm coming, and I can feel that it knows I'm on the way. I'm not an exorcist. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not trying to tell you that there's a cosmic battle that's about to take place. But this thing knows I'm on the way, and I think that, when I come back, I'll explain, and you guys can tell me if you think I should do something special to prepare for what I'm about to encounter. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual. We dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. It's called Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. I'll tell you all about it right after this.
Well,
the segment number two here of tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. And, you know, it's kind of a Valentine's edition. It's as romantic as we get on this show tonight. We're talking about people getting it on with ghosts later on. Bigfoot. I might even throw a swamp man in there. I see the lady's eyes lighten up when I... you like the swamp man concept, do you? Yeah, that's right. Forrest, you look frightened when I say that.
Of course.
You know, it's funny because one of the big differences between a Bigfoot and a swamp man is that Bigfoot is pretty much always naked. Sometimes swamp man wears a shirt and no pants.
What?
Yeah, isn't that kind of weird? Which is almost more frightening, really. Bigfoot is bigger than swamp man. But swamp man, on the other hand, you know, he's smaller, he's more human-like, but he's running around pantsless. So what would freak you out more, ladies, if you saw an 8-foot-tall naked Bigfoot or just like some 6-foot-tall hairy swamp man running around without pants on?
Swamp man.
Yeah. What do you think, Kelly? Swamp man? Well, you're not sure, are you? You're going to marry Forrest. Never mind. This question doesn't apply to you. If you're marrying Forrest, you...
No, I'm just thinking about, I don't know why, but...
You're used to Swamp Man.
The Incredible Hulk, you know, when he busts out and he only has a little bit of pants left on, that, you know.
Forrest is very happy with that comparison. Oh, my goodness. Well, okay, here's what I was talking about before. I can't be too specific with this yet. But it's funny how life works out, how that you can almost manifest things, because here it is winter time, and I kind of start feeling a little bit, you know, down when it's cold and the leaves are off the trees, and, you know, people aren't supposed to really enjoy winter. I mean, when you go back and you look at history... You look at, say, the American Revolution and all the stuff that, you know, George Washington and his troops were going through. You know, when the winter hits, it's going to be the dark chapter again, right? It's like, oh, this is when they were about to eat each other. You know, guys are eating their shoes. We're not designed to live without heat. So I've been thinking, I need to go to the islands. I need to, you know, go down there, rejuvenate, try to lift my spirits up. But I wasn't sure. I needed to do some research anyway, Bermuda Triangle research for some projects I'm working on. And out of the blue, this guy contacted me, and he said that there is a dark spirit that has been, for lack of a better word, tormenting him for 8 months now. And he said, at first I wondered, you know, am I schizophrenic? Am I hallucinating? But then he said other people were able to see and experience this thing. He was able to get some recordings. He went and talked to his priest. His priest says, pray more, but that's not doing the trick. And so this guy now is so, you know, outraged and so desperate for some help and assistance. He said, if you come down here to the islands, I'll pay for the whole trip and I'll pay you to do this. And I thought, that is what I've been looking for, a good specific, you know, case. So I won't tell you any more than I have at this point because, you know, I don't want to jeopardize my mission here. But we, as far as I know, barring a ball game, we should have a show next week. But then the following week, there will not be a show. Well, if there is, it'll be maybe a best of or something like that. But there won't be a new show because I'm going to be off on this mission. And when I come back, oh, the story that I'm going to have to tell. And I might not make it back. This thing may kill me while I'm down there. This dark spirit, it might finally get me. But I'm building up my resistance. I'm drinking Devil's Cut. I'm toughening up. You see what I mean? I figure if I can drink enough this Devil's Cut stuff, then it doesn't stand a chance against me. What do you think, Shelley Wright?
You'll burn it out of you.
Yeah. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So if I can just down a whole fifth of devil's cut and one just suck it down.
Right in front of the spirit. The spirit's be like, I'm not messing with
him. I'm not messing with him.
Guy wants.
Can't do anything with this body now.
I will drive it out. Well, that's why we call alcohol spirits, because people believe that, you know, it invokes spiritual stuff.
Al Ghul.
Yeah, there you go. Al Ghul becomes the word alcohol. You know, all of us are eventually going to enter the spirit realm. It's going to happen. Who knows how it's going to happen, but we're all going there. We're heading the same direction. I'm going to take a swig of Red Bull, guys. No, I'm not being sponsored by Red Bull either. Why am I throwing out all these free plugs? Maybe now they will call me and be like, okay, we want you to promote Red Bull and Devil's Cut. I'm like, my whole audience will be dead in a year, but fine.
All right.
It'll be one hell of a year. Somebody we know has passed into the spirit world, Forrest.
Yes.
How many people do you know who can be identified with one word, like Madonna?
Cher.
Yes. This is, I'm not sure that I know anybody else who could be identified with one. I have to think about that.
Beck.
Yeah, Beck. There you go. Verato. That's the one word, Verato, which I think means eternity. Verato was a radio host, and he also was one of the stars of a documentary that I co-produced with C.R.X. Scott years ago about the talk radio business called Talking Tall. And as a matter of fact, Verato, I think, is the guy who kind of brought this humor to the film. You know, his scenes were, I don't know, he was a funny guy. There's no doubt about it. When you watch the movie, you know, people are laughing, and, you know, because some of the things he says, they're just funny. Well, anyway, Verato, I think he was 75 years old, and he died. I don't know exactly how or why he died. I heard he died peacefully in a hospital. And his widow now is looking to cremate his body. Apparently that was his wish. And she would like some assistance, some funding to help cremate Verato. So Matt Matan, who also was a star of the movie Talking Tall, said, hey, what if we play Talking Tall somewhere in town and give all the proceeds to his widow so she can help with, get those arrangements paid for. And I said, yeah, why not? Fine. So Matt Matan is in charge of that project. And I don't know what the latest is. If I presume that, you know, he'll make this happen, and we'll have a date and a time, and you can go see it. But let me tell you something. We premiered that movie in Asheville at the Asheville Pizza and Brewing Company, and we had a big turnout, and everybody loved it. But since then, we have recut the movie, and it is probably, I don't want to say 10 times better, but it's a lot better than it was before. We added some new footage in, we trimmed it down, we tightened it up, so even if you saw it before, it's well worth going back to watch it again. So I'll keep you guys updated on that. So you'll know when you can go and watch Talking Tall on the big screen. Before we get into this next break here, I was talking about how that in North Korea, people are eating each other because it's so bad there. And you start, thinking about these countries that have a lot of crazy activity. You start thinking about, places like Iran, basically places that you wouldn't want to go on a vacation. You don't want to go to North Korea on a vacation. You don't want to go to Iran. There are various parts of Africa you want to avoid. Well, there's some news that's come out of Iran, and usually I avoid, topics that the mainstream media might talk about, but this is crazy enough, I figured we need to bring this up on the show. It's about Ahmadinejad, the guy who's, What is he, like prime minister or something over there?
Yes.
Is that what they call him?
Other than crazy?
Yeah. I'll tell you what the news is that's strange enough to be on Speaking of Strange, which is what we call this show. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and we'll be right back. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. And keep in mind, even when it's cold, that does not cause a problem for ghost hunters. A lot of people like to hunt ghosts even more when it's cold because the electrostatic charges are much more pronounced. And that's why we do a lot of ghost hunts this time of year. And if you go to hauntedasheville.com, you'll see some of our indoor ghost hunting activities we have planned. We have some great locations. And, yes, a lot of people do it, but it's not, you know, this is not prime season for us. So if you want a more exclusive experience, you don't want to be there with some big group of people, this is the time to do it, you know. I mean, you'll probably be part of a very small party of people. You'll have a lot of attention paid to you. So go just check out, you know, the things we have going on, specials for indoor ghost hunts at hauntedasheville.com. So, okay, according to this news story I have here, I guess Ahmadinejad is the president of Iran, and I didn't realize this, but it claims here in the story that Iran recently sent a monkey into space. You knew this, Forrest?
They did it last week, I believe.
That's amazing that they would be allowed to send something like that into space, isn't it?
Why?
Well, because we're all afraid that they're going to, you know, send some missile up and strike us.
Who do they really answer to other than themselves?
Well, that's right. They don't follow anybody's rules, do they?
Exactly.
But you think that, you know, if they're shooting stuff up into space, somebody would be angry about
right,
that.
But I don't know what story you're about to read as I echo here through this microphone.
We're broadcasting from a cave tonight.
We are. But they said that the monkey that went up looked different from the monkey that came down that got the publicity.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh, a little conspiracy, huh?
Yes.
Like that monkey didn't make it.
Right. they're suddenly a different looking monkey that's getting all the publicity when it supposedly came back down.
This is great, man. I got to look up these pictures now. A monkey, a space monkey conspiracy. We have fire monkey. Now we have space monkey conspiracy.
Don't mess with a fire monkey.
Well, the story I have here is that, they're claiming great, glorious success, of course.
Of course.
And which is funny because we were reading, we were talking about last week on the show, how that when we sent men to the moon, NASA may have hired Stanley Kubrick to create some footage of, men doing glorious things on the moon just in case they didn't make it. Because you don't want to watch these guys slowly dying on the moon. That's not good for anybody's morale. And so... And that makes sense, perfect sense to me. They would do something like that as a backup plan. And over time, those pictures would just kind of get sprinkled in with the real stuff. And anyway, whether or not that's true, Iran, if they just did send a monkey and it actually is the same monkey that came back, I guess they're planning to go up again because Ahmadinejad says he is ready to be their first astronaut. He wants to be the first Iranian in space. Personally, the first dude that they shoot up there.
I think that would be good.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
I dare you.
And he says he's willing to sacrifice his life, if that's what it takes.
Do it.
And it says in 2010, Iran said it launched an explorer rocket into space with a mouse, a turtle, and worms. So,
don't ever hear about that.
Sounds like the Super Pets.
The Super Pets.
Or Wonder Pets, whatever that kid's show is.
I'm not familiar with this. Tell me about this show, Vars.
Wonder Pets?
Yeah, what is that?
They help animals in trouble, and they go in space and all kinds of different places where there's an animal in trouble.
Really?
Yes.
Is this a cartoon?
Yes.
That should be live action.
Like, it's more like cardboard cutouts and live action kind of.
Huh. So a pet gets in trouble. So give me an example of a plot line.
Whenever a pet's in trouble, they receive a phone call and they sing a stupid little song.
Uh huh. But I mean, like, what kind of trouble would the pet have, Kelly?
I used to watch it with my nephew.
Oh, okay.
Is it a hamster that's on there that you don't really know if it's a girl or a boy?
Yeah.
Like sometimes it has a skirt on, sometimes it has pants on. I can't think of what it is. It was Tuck the Turtle. But
what is the problem a pet would have that would require superheroes to come and fix it?
Maybe he can't get across the river or something.
Have you guys actually seen this? I don't know if you're making this up or not.
No, I see it. I find it very annoying.
You can't think of one predicament that a character's been in.
The animals are classroom pets. And they
classroom
come to this
pet.
Little flying boat, and they fly out the window. They get a phone call that, there's an elephant that's stuck in the mud or something.
Does this show suck as badly as I think it does?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wonder Pets. That's what it's called. Oh, my God. See, it could be an awesome show, though, if done properly. They need to hire me. That'll be my next thing. Warren Scott Productions will contact the people who do Wonder Pets. Because, you remember, when you're growing up as a kid and you watch movies like Benji? And you always end up crying at some point, because it was just so sad. I don't know why that is. Okay, never mind. Forrest he's bringing up some Wonder Pet stuff. Okay, there's a turtle, there's a hamster, there's a little duck. They're wearing little grass skirts like they're in Hawaii or something. Now they're swimming around and, man, see, why are we not multimillionaires for coming up with this? This is how it is, like, sometimes you see some stupid little thing, and you're like, is this what worked? I've pitched like 1,000 shows. This is the one that makes the cut? Now we're just chill out, people. We're watching Wonder Pets. I know you want to listen to the radio, but don't worry. We're watching a show here. Huh?
Listen.
I've just got to sit down and have the whole Wonder Pets experience, I should say. Actually, it's a bit of both, really. It's an experiment and an experience. That's what makes it. I pitch shows to these networks about just profound things, mind-boggling, life-altering achievements, enlightenment, you know, stuff that will actually help humankind move closer to a type 1 civilization. Goes nowhere. Wonder Pets, boom, green light. Somebody's probably a millionaire off of putting a turtle with a grass skirt on. Oh, God. Okay, this is not fair to you, the listeners, that you have to hear me vent about the TV business when I'm watching Wonder Pets. Forrest, would you like to go into outer space?
Sure.
Would you?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure if I... Here's the thing. If you told me you have an opportunity to go to the moon, I think I'd do it. But just to go into space...
Well, I hear the going rate for going into space is about $20 million right now. I think I can do a lot more better things with $20 million.
I mean, and you're sitting in a capsule. You're just up and down.
You're in there up in orbit for what, 5 minutes of that?
Probably. And if it could just be a Disney park ride. You don't even Disney World park ride, whatever. You know, you don't even know the difference. Probably. Yeah, there's some G forces, but you're sitting in a little metal hull of this craft, and they say, "Oh, you were there." You know, congratulations, you were there.
Congratulations, here's a certificate.
I don't know, that's not that exciting to me, really. Going to the moon, okay. I get out, I walk around, I hop around, you can do flips and things. You can throw a football really far. That's what I want for my $1 billion. Well, we'll see what happens to Ahmadinejad. You know, the easiest way to make this happen is just to get abducted by aliens, because that's free. You don't have to pay for anything, and you're going on a real ride then, you know. And I got this story here from Georgia, and we are, you know, right next to Georgia, and it's about a guy who says the aliens took him off into space. Now, anytime this happens, and it happens a lot, apparently, because, you know, there are plenty of books, there are movies about people getting taken off into space by aliens. I guess it's just, you know, it's a common thing, apparently. But this is not a common case. This is a special case, and I will explain why it's special when we come back. Because this is the show where we don't just bore you with the regular mainstream material. No, we take it one step further. We look at the craziest stuff we can find every week. These are real news stories. And that's why we call this show Speaking of Strange. Keeping you company tonight till midnight, East Coast time. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and we'll continue right after this. Same as my daddy and his daddy before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. Would you not say, Forrest, the guy playing the theremin in this song is the most awesome guy in the world? He's super cool, isn't he?
Definitely.
I think he's Swedish.
That would make sense.
That totally makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
What's his name? I can't even remember how to pronounce his name. Something like Pekkanini or something.
Pekkanini.
Yeah. This guy composes stuff for the theremin, and he's standing there with sunglasses on.
The wraparound sunglasses.
Yeah. And it's got a very low-budget 80s kind of quality. I could just sit down and have a beer with that guy. How about you, Forrest?
Definitely. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Swedish is right, because I'm getting that ABBA vibe about the look of this guy.
Right?
Exactly.
That's what you have to do when you're talking about Swedish people.
Time to make the chicken break.
That's a theremin. This guy created this song called Theremin Goes Pop. You don't hear many theremin songs like that. I can play that, you know. I'm almost as cool as that guy, but I'll never quite
almost.
Be there. I'll never quite be there. I'm very aware of my limitations.
Good.
We're in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. Next hour, Valentine's is coming up, so we're going to talk about people getting it on with ghosts and Bigfoots. You know, there comes a point in your life when you are a paranormal researcher, when you ask yourself, and this shows you the sadness of being a paranormal investigator. There actually comes a point when you wonder yourself, is it Bigfoots or Big Feet? That's not a question the average person ever, ever asks themselves, but that's the kind of thing we deal in. Is it Bigfoots or Big Feet? I decided it was going to be Bigfoots for me. What about you, Shelley Wright?
Yes. Bigfoots have big feet.
I'd say it's big feet.
You'd say big feet?
Yes.
Really? And I think that instead of it being cryptozoology, it should just be called Bigfootery.
There you go.
I'm a Bigfooter. It's Bigfootery.
Well, no. I mean, there's other cryptos, the study of hidden animals. I mean, there's other...
Yeah, that's true.
Hidden animals.
We'll call that
in
a different field, then.
I mean, we can have the Bigfootery division of cryptozoology.
Right. Because most people who call themselves a cryptozoologist, they're just studying one thing. They're just studying Bigfoot.
Bigfoot's their holy grail.
That's definitely their holy grail. The holiest of holies is Bigfoot.
True.
And, you know, we're going to get into that, too, as a matter of fact, come to think of it. The holiest of holies. Well, folks, in Loganville, Georgia, something weird happened. It's so strange that, you know, I read this story like three times, and I still had to slow down and be like, okay, what's the timeline? How did all this stuff happen? Here's the best I can piece together. About 4 o'clock in the morning in Georgia here, a call came in 911. The story doesn't make it clear who made the call or whatever, but the deputies who responded went to a parking lot near a church, and there they found a disoriented woman bleeding profusely. And it appears that she says that she called 911 because she was claiming somebody was trying to kill her. And they were saying, well, who was trying to kill you? And she's just not making a lot of sense. Nearby, they found her vehicle in a ditch. The engine was still on. The doors were open. And the two front wheels were still spinning, they say. Which is odd. I don't know how, you know, why that was happening. So they're trying to make sense of, you know, they figure, okay, I guess this woman ended up in a ditch. Maybe she was drunk or whatever, and now she's running around here, you know, out of her mind. But then a second call came in. Somebody called 911 and said there was a prowler on their front porch. Now, this is just a short distance away. So the deputies go there, and they find a man. Now, this man has blood on him. And he's disoriented. And they ask him, what are you doing? And he said, aliens abducted me. He says, I was in my car. Next thing I know, there's chaos, there's lights. Aliens took me up in my craft, in their craft. And he says, I'm not sure what happened. So they take the guy back to the woman. And they're not sure if she's acknowledging that he was with her in the car, but they say that he had alcohol on his breath, and he was sort of unsteady. So the cops, of course, you know, they don't believe it when you say you've been abducted by aliens. So instead, they just charge this guy with a DUI, and they're still investigating the situation. So either these people got, you know, really drunk and just had the worst night of their lives, or this dude got abducted by aliens, or maybe both. I don't know. Isn't that weird? It's one of those stories where you're like, hey, they don't always resolve into a nice little package. That's why we read them on Speaking of Strange, just weird stuff like that that happened down the road here in Georgia. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about incubuses, succubuses, people getting it on with ghosts, Bigfoot, and all kinds of hairy things other than just Forrest Connor. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.